Hello and welcome to the University of Nottingham podcast series. My name is Olivia Drager. Cell separation is an important process that occurs throughout the life cycle of a plant. Today I'm talking to Professor Jerry Roberts, who is Professor of Plant Biology in the School of Biosciences at the University of Nottingham, about these processes and how scientific research in this area is benefiting the agricultural industry. Professor Roberts, the main focus of your research is to understand the mechanisms responsible for regulating cell separation in plants. Can you tell us something about this process and why is it important?
Plants are very different from animals in that the cells of plants are all stuck together. That's particularly crucial if you're a tree that's going to grow to hundreds of metres in height, as some of them do, that you need strength and you need to have cells which are literally glued together. So that allows a plant to actually grow and develop. And we've got to think about not just the aerial parts, the bits that go out into the sunshine, but also the bits that go out into the soil. So some plants produce roots which may go for hundreds of metres. So you imagine trying to push your roots into something which is extremely solid, such as a soil. So strength is important, and having the plant cells attached to each other. There's a difficulty, though, because that means that you need to coordinate the way you grow, because all the parts are glued together. It also means, how do you get rid of bits if you don't want them? And so plants have developed mechanisms to shed their parts, and I suppose that's what I'm interested in. How do plant parts shed? How does it work? And how do the cells come apart?
What kind of areas do you and your research team focus upon?
Okay, I mean, I've been studying it for quite a few years now. And for me, I think when you start doing research, it's almost by luck where you go into it. It's a sort of serendipitous discovery. And one's fueled by trying to find out things. And so I started as a PhD student. And I was interested in processes which were involved in specific changes occurring in cells. And that means that if only certain cells are doing things, there must be some sort of specificity about that, some sort of differentiation of those cells. I was also interested because the process can be quite quick. So if we take a specific example of flowers, then we take it for granted that as flowers get old, then they shed their petals. And there are good reasons why that might happen. But some flowers can shed their petals incredibly quickly. You know, we may be talking about 90 minutes. Or maybe 90 minutes may seem like a long time if we sat here for 90 minutes. But if you think about what has to happen, you have to remove the glue between the cells. And that is something which has to happen chemically, probably. And they're all the signals involved to take place. So for me, it's something which is occurring in a defined area. It's involving signals, and we know that the environment is particularly important. So the shedding of leaves, for example, at the end of the year, we expect to happen in October, November. If it happened in June, then we scratch our heads and say, okay, what's going on? But it also involves processes which have an agricultural orientation and working in a school which is interested in applying knowledge, then we need to think about how we can apply it. And I've mentioned to you about the shedding of petals. Well, if the whole flower is shed, then that may be exactly what you want. But if the flower is shed before pollination, then that may be not what you want. The shedding of leaves, again, if that takes place towards the end of the season, that's fine. But if it occurred early on in the season, before the plant had been able to assimilate all its materials, that would be, you know, not fine. We're interested in both potentially preventing it and maybe sometimes encouraging it to happen. So we might want to prevent it. If, for example, we were thinking about a fruit. So a fruit is, again, an organ which has to be lost, not because we want to be able to eat it necessarily, but as far as the plant is concerned, if it can shed that particular fruit, then that fruit contains seeds, and the seeds can then be passed to another part of the field or another part of the countryside. That's why the plant does it. But for us, if we want to eat that fruit, then what we want to do is we want to perhaps stop it from occurring if we were, say, thinking about maybe an apple. So we wouldn't want that fruit to be shed in June or July, but occasionally it happens, and we all know that if you have an apple tree and you look at the blossom and the blossom forms and you get these small apples developing, and then suddenly sometimes in June or July you get a lot of little apples on the floor beside your tree, and you scratch your head and think, well, what's all that about? Well, it's probably because the tree somehow has a mechanism to determine how many fruit it can really cope with. But if we could stop that process, maybe that would be something that would increase the amount of apples at the end of the season. So we might want to stop it. There again, if you were going to coordinate the shedding, it would be really useful perhaps to encourage those fruit that perhaps weren't going to shed. So if you were an apple picker, you might want to make sure that all the apples on a particular week you could loosen, and you could send somebody up there, or you could get some sort of mechanism to shake the tree vigorously, and all the apples would fall at the same time. So in that case, we might want to encourage the loosening process. So there's the trying to slow it or maybe even stop it, and there's also the trying to encourage it or maybe induce it. I mean, I am somebody who uses genetic manipulation as a tool in my work, and I have had a pretty rough ride, and perhaps deservedly so, when I've spoken to a whole range of audiences, and I've spoken to other scientists who may not have the same view as I have. I've spoken to communities of gardeners, and I've given talks to interested parties who are interested in gardening. I've spoken to sixth formers and asked them about this. And there are some people who find manipulating with that sort of process to be not something they would support. From my personal view, I would recognise that particular view needs to be considered. It's a matter of sometimes balancing. Like most scientists, you like to think that what you're doing is going to be beneficial and there are going to be advantages, but you have to recognise that you only know a small amount of the total picture of the process. And so my view is that let's have a look at the opportunities and recognise that there may be downsides. So I talked earlier about trying to maybe prevent young fruit from being shed. But if it is that tree has a mechanism, what's called a homeostatic mechanism, to make sure that it can fill all those fruit, and that if it has too many fruit, if the load is too great, then you might not increase things, but you might have a lot of fruit, but they're all a small size, which may be not what you want. That would be something you'd want to balance. There may be other occasions when, due to some stress, the plant responds. Most plants are very conservative, that's with a small c. If they encounter a stress, their first response is to slow down their growth, to take stock of what they're doing as much as a plant can take stock. And often that means they respond by getting rid of any parts which might prove to be a load on their ability to survive, because they want to survive. So getting rid of fruit, okay, that has an issue with regards to propagation, but it might allow the plant to survive. So plants under stress tend to respond by getting rid of what they regard as things surplus to requirements maybe for that season. But it may be a stress which is transitory, and if you could help them over that hurdle, then that may be advantageous. So if you could protect them from that stress, maybe in some way to make sure that they're able to fulfill some sort of developmental program, then that could be advantageous.
How do you foresee that your research will develop in the future?
Okay, there are two things there, because we've been talking about the application, and that's important to me. In addition, I think many people who go into science, including myself, are driven by the finding out. So sometimes I'm pulled in more than one direction. I want to find out, but I also have to make sure that it has some sort of logical progression in terms of what it might lead to. So firstly, where do I see new developments taking place? If the technology associated with genetic manipulation is something that people find they're increasingly comfortable with, and they see that as an opportunity in addition to organic strategies and other types of new strategies for sustainable farming, then it may be that we can orchestrate some of these events. So, for example, the cell separation is also something which leads to pods opening up. So when a pod dries out, it opens up, it unzips, exactly like the cells unzipping at the base of a leaf, and that then allows the seeds to come out. Now, that is very useful for the plant, but not very useful for the farmer, because the seeds fly all over the place, and therefore you lose them. And we've all seen oilseed rape seeds which germinate on the sides of roads and elsewhere. So I see it that we may be able to influence that process so that we don't lose seeds. It may be that we can influence the process so we don't lose fruit or flowers. I mean, if you go and you go into your supermarket and you buy Alstroemeria or you buy a really nice lily, it's a great shame that after a few days, you know, the petals fall off or something else happens. It's also a great shame with lily that you find that the anthers, which are the components which use the pollen, they open up and they then mark your clothes, which is a real issue. And we may be able to have an effect there. That wouldn't be a major one. But you can look to see how you can use that knowledge. So I think that we're going to, as we find out more about these processes, we're going to be able to, I use the word orchestrate because I prefer to use that than manipulate. Manipulate to me always seems to be rather uncomfortable. But we may be able to, in some way, assist the plant in operating at its optimum or maximum potential for the plant and also for the farmer and for the grower, and to make sure that the quality of the product is as high as possible, because we want to make sure that we produce high quality foodstuff, high quality in both how it looks, because that's sometimes a measure of quality for some people, and also how it does in terms of our nutritional capacity. So that's one thing. From the scientific side, I'm fascinated in trying to find out what the signals are that coordinate this. So we know that leaves fall off at a certain time of the year, but even if we know that it may be as a result of a reduction in the amount of light that's occurring, we don't really know how the plant recognizes that light, and we don't know how, once some sort of button has been pushed in the plant, all those events are regulated. And plants are fabulous things to work with, because you realize the more you find out, same as with animals, the less you really know about it. And we're only just beginning to scratch the surface to understand how all these things are coordinated and how these various signals are regulated across not only a small part of the plant, such as a leaf, but also how that information is fed back to other parts of the plant, for example, the roots, so that the plant really is kept appraised of what's going on. Remember that half the plant's in the dark most of the time, and whereas many of us feel sometimes we're in the dark, sometimes we're able to illuminate what we're doing in other ways. But for a plant, you know, that half is permanently in the dark, and it's a matter of understanding the signals that occur from one part to another.
Professor Roberts, thank you very much for talking to me today.